Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything. Stay locked in and fully loaded. Bashani Radio and Verkay Radio. They said we couldn't do it, but we global now. Worldwide. Boom. In your face. Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn. Ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn. Tell people to stay off the lawn. Compare it to your neighbor's lawn. And complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. Which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
You're at the right place at the right time. Grown folks talking live, not today. Yes. Y'all, let me tell you. Y'all already know what it's going to be. Every single Monday at 3 p.m. talking about parenting and adulting. If you're a parent or not, children in the community, yes, we are looking up to you. So let's go ahead and get in the vibe, get in the flow, so we can go to another room and it's our time to get in. Local artist right here out of North Carolina named Tyke Steve, one of the greatest saxophonists that you will meet. Yes. And I'm so grateful that this gentleman is a sponsor to the show with his wonderful track, Riding Genre Lane. As an artist and supporter, along with our other organization and sponsor, Our Efforts United, out of Raleigh, North Carolina, but coming wherever there's a need, helping with program development for youth through the creative arts, entrepreneurship, character development, and leadership for youth and their families, because families are not families if you don't incorporate everybody. So thank you, Our Efforts United. You can follow them on Facebook. That's Our, O-U-R, Efforts, E-S-S-O-R-T-S, United, U-N-I, on Facebook, and they currently have two events coming up. One is on October 14th. It's called Health, Wellness, and Wealth Building, Men's Only Session. And we're bringing two experts, Dr. Herbert Harris and Reverend William D. Burton, along with Dr. Faye. Yes! And surprisingly, it's a trio of entertainment and expertise. And one of these gentlemen, not going to tell you which one, not just yet, is joining us today as our special guest host. Yes! He's going to bring the thunder, the lightning, and the power. So welcome again. So grateful that each of you was able to tune in across the world, internationally joining us. For those of you who are listening to us through a replay, make sure that you share this, you download it. You never know whose life you're going to change by sharing a message. So we always start off with a moment of gratitude, right? It's so important. That is one of the keys to success. When you talk to Oprah Winfrey, Tony Robbins, John Maxwell, your mama, your daddy, grandparents, people in the neighborhood, the homeless man on the street, they will tell you the way that they get by, the way that they continue to progress, the way that they find success and peace of mind to make it through all of the things that happen in life is through gratitude. Gratitude totally changes your mentality. Okay, and as always, I will share from the family box the moments of gratitude that you all bring. So let's go ahead and get to the gratitude. We have Sharitha Niti from India, and she said she is grateful that her daughter has gotten married recently, and she loves the family that her wife is married into. That's beautiful. What a blessing. So grateful for you. Yes, that is fabulous. All right. And then we have Jermaine. Jermaine is from Wyoming. Wow. What's up? Shouts out to Wyoming. He says he is grateful that he has finally started his delivery business. And He's been trying to start it for the last 5 years. He did not give up. And he's glad he didn't, because now he's able to do what he wants and do what he loves, which is delivering packages for businesses in his area. Way to go, Jermaine. And you all, I'm just grateful for the fact that my son wakes up and he is happy and smiling, because as a soul provider and a provider of his soul, that is worth more than silver and gold. And I so enjoy those moments, those hugs and those smiles. And the fact that I have been working on structure with him, because he's 8. And parents don't come with a manual. You just got to figure it out, right? And so getting that routine in place and having a routine that's peaceful for both of us is great. So now you all, before we go into our reading, I'm going to introduce to you our special guest host, Dr. Herbert Harris. He is the author of the 12 Universal Laws of Success. He has done work with Montel Williams, with Ike Turner, and a lot of other iconic individuals. He is also a man that, you know, I'm not going to say he prides himself. I know we say pride is a bad thing, but it's not when you know that you're accomplishing things, you know. And he could pride himself on the fact that he has been helping people increase wealth, not just financially, but mentally and spiritually, for over 25 years. And in addition to that, he has raised a family, and he hasn't done it in a traditional sense. He's done it while pursuing his dreams. He's done it through co-parenting. I'm going to let him tell you more about that while we have the discussion, because you know how we do it on here. We talk and we chat, and that's what it's all about. I want y'all to give a round of applause while we bring him on. Dr. Harris, are you here?
I am here. here. I am here, and I am clear. Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us. I know that you move around a lot. You're traveling a lot. You're doing your thing, and so I'm honored to have you on here. And I want to say we honor you as a father. So thank you so much for being a father, in addition to being a mentor and a role model for so many people in this world.
Thank you, my dear. Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, before we get into our talk, Dr. Harris, we are going to go into an affirmation and meditation, and then I'm going to do the reading, and then we'll jump right into it, okay?
Sounds like a plan.
Awesome. So you all, let's go ahead and get into our meditation for today. I'm going to give you the track, the meditation for words of encouragement today. Okay, so whichever word of encouragement resonates with you, whichever phrase resonates with you, I want you to carry that with you while you are going through your day, your week, your seconds, and your years. Okay? Everybody, take three deep breaths. This time when we do it, if you are able to, when you breathe in, I want you to take your hands, put them on your belly. That's your solar plex. This is like where your soul sits, okay? You're going to breathe into there through your mouth. As you breathe in, you're going to move your hands up above your head like a clap. And then when you breathe out, bring your hands back down to your belly. Breathe in with our hands on our belly. Hold for 3 seconds. 1, 2, 3. Exhale while lifting your hands up. Inhale, hands back down. 1, 2, 3. Exhale. Last time. Inhale. Great job, you all. And now for words of encouragement meditation to set our minds and release, because we're grown folks talking, and it's time.
Words of encouragement. These are phrases from my heart to yours. From Akilah Faye, transformation expert, empowerment speaker, mother, educator, woman, human. These are 9 phrases that you can play over, you can put on a note card, you can post them in your car, on a mirror, or you can just put this track on repeat. You can even play it in your sleep. May you be encouraged, uplifted, and know that I love you. Know that you are loved. And everyone in your life will not see your value yet. As you accept that you are loved and you know your value, others will have to respect you and treat you in a manner that is acceptable towards you. The pains from the past will impact the present until you give yourself the gift of forgiveness. Healing starts with forgiveness, which leads to freedom that releases the fear that forms from the suffering you have endured. Be at peace. You rose to see another day. Therefore, everything is well, and you are blessed. Be grateful. This is a quote from my pastor at Unity, and he said, "Do you know what the cure to stupidity is?" And of course, you're like reading, right? No. It's gratitude. The cure to stupidity is gratitude. Y'all get it?
Okay.
Gratitude is being able to see the beauty in every situation while acknowledging on an internal level that each experience is a wonderful opportunity for growth and joy. When's the last time you looked in the mirror and told yourself, I am beautiful, I am handsome, I am capable, I am wonderful? You should do it every day. Look in the mirror and tell yourself that you are a wonderful creation that has been placed in this world for a unique purpose that only you can fulfill. Your vision is truly your vision. But when you ask your God to reveal the vision for your life to you, then you will understand the steps necessary to live a life of total bliss that will benefit not just you, not just your family, but the world. Smile, you're great, and you are wonderfully made. Acknowledge the truth to yourself, and then let it go. No one has to know your every thought and feeling. You have just listened to Letters of Devotion, Prayers Through Meditation, written, voiced by, gifted by Akilah Fay, transformation expert, empowerment speaker. You can reach out on Facebook / Path to You, PathToYou. You can get daily motivation in our public group, EMT, Empowering Moments Together. Or let's have a conversation. Email me, AkilahFay@AkilahFay.com. AkilahFay. @AkilahFay.com. Love you all. Peace and blessings. And may every day of your life continue to be enlightened, uplifted, and filled with joy, filled with laughter, and covered in love. Peace.
All are so kind, and we're back. Dr. Harris, you're with us. I hope you enjoyed that meditation affirmation.
Yes, yes. Next time I'll do one with you. I love doing meditations because they help you center so well and help you move your vision and move your clarity to be prepared to do what you have.
Wow, so would you say that's one of the tools that you would recommend for adulting?
Absolutely. Yeah, meditations are like going to the gas station, you know, to get gas for your car.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way to get spiritual gas and emotional gas for your life. So, yeah, meditation is like you should have meditation stations.
Wow, I like that. Meditation stations.
Yes.
That's great. How often do you meditate?
Every day.
Do you do it at like certain times or just kind of like whenever you feel like it?
No, I do it in the morning. You know, I find that if you don't schedule things, they probably don't happen. You know, if you've been there, there's a reason why things happen at the same time all the time, because you don't have to, it becomes a part of your habit. And so if you're in the habit of getting up at a certain time, then I love to do my meditation really before I do anything else, because once your day starts moving, it's so easy not to do it. Also, it prepares you for the day.
Wow, that's powerful. You know, I've had people inbox me and ask, let me ask you the question. What do you recommend, or how do you start setting a schedule? Like, I share with people different strategies for setting a schedule, like, don't put pressure on yourself mentally and say, for 5 minutes a day, I'm going to do this particular activity. And I kind of coach them through a process of looking at their schedule, evaluating it, and figuring out where to fit time in. How would you recommend that somebody who doesn't already have a schedule, or even has a schedule, starts to factor in different elements that could really improve their life? And they're like, oh my God, no, I got these kids, I got this job, I got these responsibilities, my parents are sick, I got to travel all the time. It's just a lot. My job is giving me extra hours and they're changing my schedule up. Like, what am I supposed to do? What would you tell that person?
Well, you know, there's some steps to it. I think first you really have to have a planner. In other words, a written document. A lot of people use the telephone, and maybe that works for them. It doesn't really work for me. And so I recommend that you have a planner. You can get it at the stationery store, Walmart. As a matter of fact, Walmart has a sale on planners. I just bought two for $1 each.
Oh, wow.
And so just having a planner is number one. Two, to write the important things in your planner, to all the activities that you have to enter them, and to constantly make it a habit of putting every activity, every engagement, every commitment on your planner, so that when someone says, can you meet me on the 23rd, you can go to the 23rd and you can see exactly what you have to do that day. And you have to be confident that you always, you know, you have to be in the habit of putting things in your planner immediately. Anything you put off, you probably won't put it in your planner.
Wow.
Once you have that planner, then you can schedule things, and then you have to just be committed to follow the schedule. There are people that buy planners, write them, and then don't look at them.
You said they do what?
Yeah, they'll buy a planner, they'll write in it, and then they don't look at it. People write out stuff in the planner in the morning, and they never refer to it again during the day.
Wow.
So it's all about creating habits, like the habit of doing your meditation at the same time, the habit of getting up at the same time. You'll find that when you read the lives of very, very successful people, every one of them says, I always get up at the same time every day, and I basically go to bed at the same time every night. And they work to put themselves in a rhythm that works for them. You know, all of our bodies have a rhythm and a vibration that's personal. And so you have to find your right one. You know, sometimes if you sleep too long, you'll be tired during the day. If you don't sleep long enough, you'll be tired during the day. there's a certain cycle that you get that if you sleep that amount of time, like I sleep exactly 6 hours.
Wow.
And I can cut it back, but exactly 6 hours, I'm at my best. I feel good during the day. I often take naps because I believe that when you take a nap, I like to totally relax so that I can take a nap. When I take a nap, I literally go into a deep sleep instantaneously.
Wow.
And so I can take a short nap for 20 minutes, and it would be like most people who took a 2 or 3 hour nap.
That's a great thing about sleep. I had a doctor in Winston-Salem. She actually wrote a book. Dr. Michelle, and her book was about the power of sleep. I think as parents, a lot of times, we forget that we too need to rest. I remember when I had my son, and you probably have a parent story like this too. The elders used to tell me, you got to sleep when that baby sleeps, because if you don't sleep when that baby sleeps, as a mom, they were like, you're not going to get any sleep. And I was breastfeeding. So me and my son really got on a rhythm together. And sometimes that rhythm, you know, I would fall asleep while breastfeeding and wake up like, oh, wow, we both done went to sleep through this process. And at first I tried to fight it like, nah, they don't make sense. I ain't got to do that. I'm going to sleep when I want to sleep. I don't have to change my schedule up. And, yeah, I had to learn that, yeah, they were right.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. But once you get kind of beyond that, I think as parents, it's important that you have a schedule. You know, sometimes, and you know, it may be that I'm old school and old fashioned, but it always fascinated me when people ask children about, you know, about decisions that children may not be qualified to make. You know, my daughter was telling me once, she said, Dad, in retrospect now, she's what, 24 now, and a year or so ago, she said, you know, I finally realized now that I wish that you all had made me take my music. You know, I started her in music at, I think, about 4 or 5 years old, mm-hmm. and she played up until she was about 9.
Okay.
And, you know, her mom asked her, so what, do you want to continue taking music, or would you like to go and take a dance class at the Y? And what's she going to say? What sounds like more fun?
Right.
Okay. And so she says, I want to go to the Y. I want to take the dance class. I don't want to take music anymore. And so the mother sent her to the dance class. So now, what, 15 years later, now that she's a professional musician, is I wish that I had continued, because I was at that point where you move from being a good amateur to a good professional. And so the kids who continued in music, they are now, they have a level of expertise that she now has to work to achieve. Yeah. So she has to keep going back to cover things that she didn't get, which she would have gotten if she continued in music. And so I really made a note of that. She said, Dad, I wish that you had done that. So it made me think, as a parent, you know, there's a reason why we're older and why we have more experience. And so don't easily give up that experience. You know, if you know that it's best for the child, and, you know, there are probably modifications of it, but I knew, if it had been up to me, I said, you would have taken music. Okay.
That sounded like you were doing co-parenting. So,
I was doing co-parenting.
Okay. So a lot of our parents, a lot of people who come in, we have people who are married that put in questions just about how do you start to agree with your wife and your husband to come to a decision. And then we have people who are single or separate from each other raising kids. And it's the whole co-parenting thing. I've concluded that raising children in general, whether you are together or not together, is always going to be a task of compromise and agreement. And the bigger thing is that level of maturity, like you said, to not look at what you want or what the other person wants, but what's best for our child. Who is our child? What is our child demonstrating as a strength? What are they demonstrating as a weakness? What do we see for them that could help them? What do we see that could benefit them? What information? And get out of our own feelings and emotions about, well, when I was little, I didn't get this. Or, you know, I always wish I had that. And trying to make the child into you when they're not.
Yeah.
And so when you said that, that's just the question that a lot of people ask about, is how do you balance that whole co-parenting aspect when you and the other person are two different individuals? And a lot of times we don't talk about the parenting part before we create the child. We go through the activity of making the child because it's so fun and engaging. And then we're like, oh, there's a baby. And then some of us plan the child. Like I planned my son for 1.5 years after dating his father for 3 years first. But a lot of us don't do that in American society. And so it's like, what do you do once the baby's here? And it's like, whoa, okay. So how do you work through that? Because you said if it was up to you, you would have put her in dance. But the mom was like, well, now we're going to put her in the Y. And so, like, how do you work through those type of decision-making processes?
Well, in this case, it was very interesting because we lived 500 miles away. At the time, I was living in Cleveland, and Olivia, my daughter, was living in New York with her mother. And so the parent that the child lives with always has a priority.
Okay, yeah.
And you always get that sense of, you know, like a parent can always say, well, look, I hear what you're saying, but I have to deal with him or her every day. What you're saying sounds real good on paper, but I'm the one on the battlefield here.
I ain't gonna lie, because I'll throw that out there. I don't have to do it a lot. My situation is different, where I get to be a sole provider, literally. So I don't have to engage in those conversations a great deal, which is kind of refreshing and kind of not. But I do understand. I hear that a lot from the single parent dads, from the single parent moms. They're like, what? How you gonna tell me when you come around, you know, every other weekend, but you won't tell me what to do every day of the week, you know?
Right. And that's exactly what it was, you know. You know, with the piano, I was saying the piano lessons were already all the way on the other side of town, and so you had to take two buses, and it would take you an hour or so to get there. And the lesson was only 45 minutes, and then an hour or so to get back. And so it was really taking, say, 3 to 4 hours out of, you know, the parents' day, you know, once a week. And, and so it was a challenge for her. It was much easier to have her go to the Y, which is right around the corner, you know?
Right.
And you could almost, like, drop her off at the Y and come back, or she could actually go there by herself. And so, you know, sometimes it may be for convenience, but because I was not there, you know, if I'd been there, I could say, well, I'll tell you what, I'll take her to music. Okay.
Mm.
And if I had been there, I could have handled it. That's probably how it
really was. That was a power moment right there.
Yeah.
Did y'all hear this, man? The COVID. If I'm there, I would help. Sometimes, as a parent, man, when you're raising a child and you're in a single situation, you just want to know that the other person is even willing to. That we have parents who won't even acknowledge that, you know what, that probably is a lot of responsibility. Doing it by yourself. They just act like, well, you should handle it, and I send you money, so I don't see what the big deal is. So thank you so much. As a father, and y'all give shout outs to this man as a father, and there's a lot of dads like him. And there's a lot of moms who are not the sole provider in the dad's cabin, who are at least acknowledging that it's a great responsibility raising a child without somebody else in the household. You know?
Yeah. And, you know, and it's interesting how children see it, you know, because, and so one of the things that, you know, when we talk about entrepreneurship, you know, when people have a job, they are not as free as you can be when you work for yourself.
Right.
And so I really have a deep, you know, feeling in my heart about parents where both parents, they're not together, and they both have jobs. And so whatever they do has to be done in the context of their job. So, you know, maybe as a father, I want to be there for her class, for whatever she's doing. But if I'm all the way on the other side of town, or if I'm 90 miles away, then that means I got to take off from my job to drive there, to go there. And, you know, jobs right now tend to be very family unfriendly.
Right. So,
it's like, yeah, you can choose between the job and the child. And so, you know, so many times a parent cannot participate because of the job constraint. You know, it's like, you got to make a living. I can be there all the time, but I'll be poor and broke. Would you like that? No. Okay.
Right. That's so true.
A lot of times children don't see it because as my daughter, I was reading a paper of her once. And so, because I worked for myself, I kept a calendar. We're back to the calendar thing. And so I would always say, Libby, tell me all the things that you're doing. I'm going to be reading a poem at the church. I'm going to be performing in this. I'm doing this and I'm doing it. And so I literally put it on my calendar. And because I could, be free to go there, so I would drive from Cleveland to New York. And, you know, hear her read a poem in church, you know, and or to go to her event. Whatever she put on that calendar, I made sure that I'd be there.
That's so awesome. You made her a priority. That's a great place for us to transition. What I'm going to do, you all, I know Dr. Harris, I know y'all don't want him to go. He's not leaving, okay? What we're going to do, we're going to hear a track. We're going to hear a little bit of reggae real quick. We're going to come back and do the reading. And this is a great time for us to talk about the baby daddy versus the father. I'm going to share with you from my book, The Men We Choose, which is available as an ebook on Amazon. You can get it, The Men We Choose, you can get it there. You can also email me, AkilaFay@gmail.com, if you would like the paperback book, or go to my Facebook page, facebook.com/path2you. And Dr. Harris, all this information that you're giving us, I know that you too have a wonderful book. I've read it. I've been in your course. I mean, you are just dynamic. And his book is called The 12 Universal Laws of Success. That's just one of his books, okay? Just one. And you want to tell them where they can find it and what it's about before we go to this song and come back with the reading?
Sure. The 12 Universal Laws of Success is a success book. If you can imagine a cookbook, when you want to make a cake, you have a recipe, you follow the recipe, you get a good cake. Well, the 12 Universal Laws of Success is like a recipe book for success, and you follow the recipe, you can achieve success. It's available, of course, on Amazon, in the paperback and Kindle edition. It's also available on our website, herbertharris.com. And if you get on our website, the good thing is that we can autograph it for you and send a whole bunch of other goodies. So herbertharris.com to get a copy, an autographed copy of our book, and learn about some of the other things that we're doing, our seminars and webinars.
That's a beautiful thing, and it's always great to get an autographed copy. That's why you got to make sure you contact the office. Make sure you do that, because you get something special every time when you do those things, you all. And Dr. Harris is going to be one of the presenters. You're getting a little bit of the goodies now. He has so many awesome facts, information, personality that will totally shift your life. I know you're being shifted right now. Give thanks to the Creator for him being with us and for all of you listening and being blessed and uplifted. As we're going through adulting and parenting, with grown folks talking live with Dr. Akila Fay again, shout out to our sponsor, Our Efforts United, based in Raleigh, North Carolina. We're going to go ahead and hear from our other sponsor, Tyce C., the saxophonist. Then we're going to come back with a reading, and we're going to continue our conversation. Grown folks talking. Yes.
Thank you.
we're back, you all. Go ahead and let that play a little bit in the background while we do this reading, okay? So the first one is called The Baby Daddy from the Men We Choose. Oh, the times that were shared filled with such gentle love and care, whether for a moment or years, the after effects of the children are shared. Daily, in a functional reality, mixed amongst his periodic dysfunctions and technicalities, bringing her into everything. Yes, her, the mother of the children. Speaking about her as if still with her, telling of her great parenting skills and how she has attributes that he feels a need to defend or expound upon constantly. Reminiscing turns to hearing a book on their story, leading her to think, oh, baby, why must you bring into this new interaction the reality of the one who didn't yield satisfaction? Understanding that you two shared a lifelong connection and responsibility to maintain and take care of your offspring, to guide them into adulthood, is expected. Some take this duty and live it fully, being there for their children first, no matter about the divorce or cause of separation. They're in preparation with new prospects. Constant discourse of the children's mother is not discussed. Rather, conversations are filled with descriptions of the joys and pleasures, the ups and downs of the children, funny stories of their ways, tragic tales of when they fail. Only then time will tell if the baby daddy truly plays an active role, because all that's known is what he's told. No evidence that he is there, constantly or at all. Only stories and worries of what he wants to be, how he is striving to do right, but in the process takes flight and starts verbal fights to create an excuse to make constant exits from his current relationship, as if he still longs to be with his ex-lover, who is also forever the woman who he shares the bond of a child or children. The real deal is he still wants to feel it, her, and maybe make some more love children without an attachment, so he brags on her to hide what he is all about, nothing. But being a donor of life, like the heart on a license, the babies never really know him, just the way he does, with a glimpse of who he is. But he treats his children just like his women. They're 1 minute and gone the next. Yet he expects new women to fully comprehend that the mother and he will always be friends because of the children. It's just that for a while, he can't be what he needs to be, so he accepts the title of baby daddy. With prayer, help, and a swift kick in the tush, maybe one day he will be a father, and the conversations engulfed in the great mother will be overwhelmed with stories of his interactions and the lives he has made, donations of chromosomes. Who knows, maybe he will continue to procreate until he creates a small nation. Oh, but the evidence is so clear, despite how one justifies his actions. He is mostly about attraction, instant gratification, and some recognition to make his title as the blood that runs through the body. That is the baby dead from the Men We Choose. Now, in contrast, you all, we have a father. He has children. A real man ensures that his children are always first. He never views them as a curse. Rather, he sees each birth as a blessing to the course known as the evolution of life, acknowledging how embracing their presence and faith is a materialized reflection of a life that is half peace. Makes his life hundreds of times increase in the reason for living. He could not exist without hearing their voices, feeling their little kisses, providing them with affection. The thought of detachment would drive him crazy and fill him with tears of sorrow, with the simple thought of missing any days of their tomorrow. He thrives to ensure that his reflections know the mirror that creates his image, the other half from his mother that with God formed their chromosomes into a total being. He would never let a woman or any person for that fact come between he and his offspring. He talks about them constantly as if they are he. He respects the responsibilities that come with being a real daddy. The one who the children and mother know will always be there, whether with a lot a little or no finances. For they all know his presence in their lives is the ultimate presence. And what's most important, he adores fatherhood, makes it look easy. And when it's a challenge, he embraces the opportunity to prove that he knows how to make proper moves that keep the family strong and evolving. Without veering off course, he rotates on the axle of love, whether together or apart. He never denies they are a part of his heart. He understands the commandments of what a father must do, more than provide money with the occasional appearance of connectedness. He lets the children know that he always loves and takes pride in the fact that his spirit played a role in birthing them. That is a father. He has children from the men. Dr. Harris.
Yes, I'm here.
What do you think, sir?
Well, you know, when you look at the baby daddy and the father, it's an interesting, you say, contrast. You know, sometimes, you know, baby daddy may be a person whose only contribution is 50% on a baby. So that's all I can say. I gave my 50% when we created it. And, but that father is, the child is really an extension of the father as opposed to something separate and apart with the father. I think that when you have that whole baby daddy concept, it's like the baby and the daddy are separate entities, and the different things in between complement them. The mothers have new boyfriends, which complement baby daddy relationships. The baby daddies have new girlfriends, which complicates the baby daddy mother relationship. Mm-hmm. So, you know, everything is like distinct. There's no strong connection. It's just an existence. And when the father, that child is an extension of the father. And it's a, you know, Kira, it's a lot about consciousness, you know, that when you think about the child, you mm-hmm. know, so many times relationships are based on, you know, like a physical attraction between the mother and the baby daddy. And mm-hmm. maybe this is an unexpected outcome, you know,
right.
Definitely no planning. And when the baby, you know, came, it was almost like, oh, wow, look at this.
Right.
Look what we found here.
It's a baby. Woo! I got a baby mama, too.
Yeah.
Baby mama's fit too. Yes.
Yeah. But you know, the thing is, the interesting thing is, like, as they always say, the old folks say, daddy's maybe, but mama's baby.
Right. I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the baby dad, it's really the mother almost, I don't like to say the raw end of the deal, but the mother can't run away from the baby.
Mm.
You know, I have, in practice in law, I have experienced once or twice mothers who ran away from the baby. But that is so very, very rare. Just, I think, the physical attraction, the fact that the baby has come through the mother's body.
Yes.
Bond,
oh, my gosh,
that,
yes.
Yeah. That cannot be broken. I mean, you have kids that don't get along, and, you know, all the moms and daughters that hate one another, but it's still there.
Right.
You don't have that same relationship with the fathers. And so the baby daddy versus the father is often a choice of the man. You know, the baby's there. And now how you relate to it depends on the father, depends on your attitude. I mean, and, you know, sometimes mothers don't make it easy, you know, but the father, you may not be able to control a person's actions, but you can control your reactions to it.
Right.
So even if a mother makes a challenge and you got a baby daddy who really wants to be a father, I believe he'll find a way. You know, it's like breathing, you know, like when you have a cold, breathing makes you cough and it may be uncomfortable, but you're not going to stop breathing.
For sure, you're really not. It's so interesting when you said, you know, the bond with the mother. I'm thinking, you know, as a mom, I'm a small woman. I'm like 125, 130 pounds, 5'8", 5'8½", something like that.
Uh-huh.
And when I was pregnant, I got up to 172 pounds.
Uh-huh.
And most of it was my stomach. Then I was excited because I finally had, like, breasts. Because I was, you know, I was breastfeeding. I was like, woo! You know, I'm feeling like a brick house. And everybody's like, you know that weight's not going to stay, right? But I saw my body shift. And my stomach got so big. Most of my weight was just really my son.
Uh-huh.
I left the hospital. I went in 172 pounds, walked out at 145. Within a year, I was back down to 135 again. And now I'm back to my regular weight. So I don't even give into that whole, oh, girl, this baby fat. Your baby, 13 years old, that is not baby fat. You know, you got to work that out. And
that's your own doing.
Exactly. And the fathers, you know, their body doesn't change per se. But I notice, like, the emotions change. But a lot of dads will get like, whoa, why am I emotional now? Why am I feeling your sickness? Why this?
Uh-huh.
And it's that spiritual connection that happens. Uh-huh. You know, when we make a baby, it's not just the chromosomes. It's literally your spirit has combined to create another little spirit that's encapsulated in a body, you know. And one gets to see the physical and experience the physical and the spiritual and the mental and emotional. And the other one observes the physical, but experiences the spiritual and emotional. And I think it's, like, scary. You know, I don't know, because I'm not a guy, but it looks like it scares guys. Like, they're like, oh, it's beautiful, but it's scary. And then the child ends up being that beautiful, scary little thing. And they're like, ooh, I'm out.
But you know something, too, that's interesting? It's like men and women have a different attitude towards that whole dynamic,
mm-hmm.
you know? And you often see it in relationships, you know. I think there's almost a natural desire for a woman to be loved, to be. And when you start thinking about children, children being a manifestation of that.
Mm-hmm.
And when men can be desires to be a father, or it could just be a woman could just be a pit stop.
Right.
And so, many times, you know, like you may look at a baby daddy, and in his mind, she was just a pit stop. In her mind, it was a person she cared enough about to have a relationship with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the two never meet up, you know, and here comes the baby, like being born out of two completely misunderstood people.
Right.
And so, you know, it has to be a real interesting situation for, like I say, a baby daddy to become a father.
Right.
And then when you add babies to the equation, it complicates it. You know, it just adds more and more. Every piece that you add to the equation changes everything else.
Right.
Like, so when a baby daddy has a girlfriend, whatever the relationship was before has changed.
Yep.
Okay. When the baby daddy and the girlfriend have a baby on that side.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when the baby mama has a boyfriend.
Yeah.
It changes. So everything changes. And I think that's one of the things that many people don't quite comprehend. I was talking with a man who had five kids, and I really was trying to, I rented him a house once. He had five kids and he needed a place to get. He wanted to take control of his kids because
right.
to him, the mother was a crackhead and he's the one that's taking care of the kids. And so when I rented the house and it had four rooms upstairs, so I said, well, hey, I'll rent you for $900 a month. You got four rooms upstairs you can rent for $400 a month, so you can take in $1,600 and make money, man, because he was a good worker.
Wow.
The moment he got the house, the kids came, they were there about a week. Next time I come by, I look, where are the kids? They're back with their mother.
Wow.
Well, his whole mindset changed. Once he got the house, he has a place now. So instead of being a baby daddy slash father, he's a player now.
Wow. That's amazing how that happens. I'm thinking, I wish we had 2 hours to talk. Unfortunately, we only had an hour today. We got about 5 minutes together. Those changes in dynamics, though, right? And people, us as adults, just in our lives in general, with our workplace, with our feelings, our emotions, I know one of the things that I work with people on is your self-image, your self-worth, your self-value from the inside out in order to transform your environment. And then when you incorporate children into that, before we had transitioned, we were talking about different things we put in our children. And it's my belief that whatever emotions we have, however we do or do not deal with change, it is what our children replicate. And as an entrepreneur, you've been a lawyer, you've been in the music industry, you've been in network marketing. Very similar to myself, except instead of a lawyer, I've been a teacher. And I took time to homeschool my son and teach him how to be an entrepreneur. Like right now, he'll say, Mommy, I don't need money. I sell airplanes and I got my own money. He'll be like, I'm going to sell a painting. I want to start a nonprofit called Industry Toys, Mommy, and give toys to the homeless because me and him went through homelessness together before. We weren't on the streets, but we just didn't have a stable home. So we were doing what I call the duffel bag drag. And from that, he developed the concept of, I want to help other children because, Mommy, I see you helping children all the time. I see you helping out other parents. And I want to do the same thing, but I want to do it from my perspective, right? So he wants to make toys, get sponsors, and be able to give toys to the homeless. And so I'm like, even within the changes, I was able to cultivate and demonstrate to him what to do. And I've helped other parents do that. Like, yeah, you're going through this and that, but what about your children? What do you want to teach your children? You have to take it out of your head and not react to them based on the thoughts in your head, but actually respond and train them based on what's in your heart and let that come out your mouth more so than the anxieties, the frustrations, the jealousy. And I think a lot of parents don't want to admit there is some jealousy sometimes, even if you're married. It's like, well, why do you get to do this and I can't do it? Or why do you seem not stressed out? I'm stressed out. And, you know, like, how did you do that? Because your children are dynamic. I know you have more than one child. You have three children. Each of them are different. And I've been told, you know, some of them come out and you're like, woo! And some of them are like, oh, God, what? So how do you, what would be your piece of advice for people to, like, a couple of jewels to take away before we have to let you go? We'll have to bring you back, though.
Well, I tell you this. I think that to try to see the world from the child's point of view at the time of a child. You know, one of the things that about having children and having them grow up and having a good relationship with them. And one key is, we talked about schedule. To schedule relationship time with your children just like you schedule your job.
Mm.
So every Sunday night I talk with my daughter. Every Sunday night we schedule it. And what I found was that if I got slack, she was expecting it. So it kept me going. The other thing is that children see relationships from a whole different point of view. From a parent's point of view, a parent will see, I need to work three jobs to be able to provide the clothing, the shelter for my daughter, for my son, for my children.
Mm-hmm.
From a child's point of view, my daddy or my mom don't have any time for me.
Mm.
And so when you know that, in other words, they are not going to understand what you're doing based on your understanding of it, but only from their understanding of it. And so many times it would shock me when my kids would say, well, when, you know, Dad, you know, one of the most important things that I got from our relationship was the fact that you always had time for me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Way to go.
And my daughter once said, she said, my dad, she was talking to some friends, and she said, my dad would drive 500 miles to hear me sing.
Mm.
And, man, it was like, man, all the other stuff, and that was what registered.
So it wasn't all the gifts and all the money and all this. But it was your time.
That's it. I just bought her a piano. That didn't even count. And so the nuggets to close with the one is that, one, to think of how the children see it from their perspective, whatever it is that you're doing as a parent, from their perspective. And their perspective is a very selfish one, in the sense that they want your attention.
Mm-hmm.
And then number two, to schedule regular communication sessions. I hate to sound so clinical. Schedule times to sit be the center of the conversation. And even though it may be hard sometimes, but to do that until it becomes a habit. And the fruits of that habit will be incredible.
Well, I'm going to say I so appreciate you. And being clinical is okay. Back in the day when I grew up, adults were just like, hey, this is what it is. The truth doesn't always feel good. It don't always sound good. And sometimes you may not understand the words. And sometimes you get information and jewels that are planted inside of you, like when you plant a seed in the ground, and it has to germinate first, and it has to take root first before it sprouts and you gain fruit. And so a lot of times on Grown Folks Talking, it's about us getting those dialogues out, being honest, being transparent, and helping each other to grow in the ways that we need to grow, because society has gotten to a point where we have arrogance over intellect. We have ego over humility. We have I know everything as a way to secure and guard ourselves and boost our self-esteem instead of saying, you know what, learning is a beautiful process. I'm glad there's people who know more than me or know different than me and can bring a different perspective or a different light that helps me to be better in my journey as an individual, that helps you to grow, that helps you to gain clarity, that helps you to calm down, that helps you to kind of take a deep breath and say, you know what, it's really a lot easier than you think. And so definitely appreciate you for sharing your insights, for joining the conversation today on Grown Folks Talking. As always, you all reach out, you know, join the group Grown Folks Talking Live with Dr. Faye on Facebook.com. You'll be able to interact, find information about Dr. Herbert Harris. Again, you can find him on herbertharris.com. And we're going to go ahead and take the show out, you all. Shouts out, love, blessings, and peace to all of you for the remainder of your days, your breaths, and your seconds. And we will be back again on another Monday with Grown Folks Talking with Dr. Akila Faye. Thank you so much, Dr. Harris.
Yeah, I
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right. Save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right. What is this? This looks good. Wow. That's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations. Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn. Ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn. Tell people to stay off the lawn. Compare it to your neighbor's lawn. And complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations. 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 Available in all states or situations.
Stay locked in and fully loaded. Bashani Radio and Verke Radio. They said we couldn't do it, but we global now. Worldwide. Boom. In your face.